First Thessalonians, chapter 5. We're almost done with Thessalonians.
Been almost done for quite some time.
We are on verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, blameless, after the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that. We've talked about sanctifying, and the you wholly is Himas holotis, holotilis, means fully tested. It's critical that we understand the purpose of how the early church was set up. Again, because the Seder had to have at least 10, but no more than 20, then in the transparency of each person, they can have by empathy the shared experience of somebody else, so that you don't have to go through every possible situation your own self, because it's shared. But if your own experiences aren't shared by what we call testimony, then we're robbing the body, we're robbing the individuals. And so pretty soon, all we do is have a philosophy class. And that's the whole purpose that the groups are in these small, the church, the first century church, was in these small groups. Very informal. No pulpits, or because of this, that you must be wholly sanctified, fully tested in every area of life. You won't live long enough if you have to do it yourself. Now, that's why saying what's there is so important. That's why it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. And we've spent a lot of time on that lately. To be sanctified wholly, I need your experiences to see if there's anything that I think might be life over there, or if I did this thing differently. Amen? All right. We talked about how that holy was applied to a lot of different things. It was applied to, where is that? It's sometimes translated made perfect. It's the idea that the altar stones couldn't have a tool touching them. It's applied to the sheep that have been investigated fully before the sacrifice, or any of the sacrificial animals, to ensure there was nothing outwardly or inwardly. And the most severe one was the ashes, was the test for the ashes of the red heifer. It had to be there had to be a genetic continuance from the first. There were only seven, and some say nine, but I think that there were only seven red heifers in the world, and they ended at the time of Christ. And what are remember, the ashes of the red heifer are what cleanses you to be able to go into the temple. It cleanses you from inadvertently touching a dead body or walking on, you know, all that stuff that we talked about so many years ago. There couldn't be more than one hair out of each follicle. There could be no different color hairs on the whole animal. when it was finally, there could never have been even the weight of a napkin on the red heifer. When it was sacrificed, they had to cut it. They cut it open and investigated every aspect of the inner organs to make sure that there was no fat or there was no anything that would make him pure by the Levitical law. And then that red heifer was burned, and the ashes from that red heifer became the instrument of cleansing. Remember Solomon said, remember we studied what he said? He said, I've known and seen all the mysteries of God, except I can't explain the purpose of the red heifer or how it came into being. Because it had to wait until Christ in order for us to understand what the purpose of the red heifer was. And the red heifer is each of the small bodies. And that is symbolically we are going through the fire of being tested. And so someday we'll study that again. But what?
Well, I'm thinking about all of this only has to do with God and His purpose. But it's easy for the carnal mind to read this and say, well, this is what I have to do to be perfected. But you're perfected not by... The end of perfection is not you coming out smelling good. It's your death and Christ being revealed in you.
Right, and that's why the whole... We studied yesterday about the... We are... Let's go to 1 Peter and see that. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen unto God and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed. But again you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we are alive stones, living stones, in this parable. And from these, each person being a part, which, and again, in this context, there can be no tool on the living stone. So you have been created, and you've gone through your own particular experiences to be exactly as you are. You have to understand that you've been perfected by one offering, and your whole life from the birth, before birth, till now, has caused you to be fit in terms of this royal priesthood, this temple that's made up of the living stones. And so we can't, you know, we got to get rid of this, these little trips you go on. oh, they said that, and then, oh, and it's a little tail bearing going on everywhere. Where we just have to be totally open, totally vulnerable. And this zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform what he wants until we get in the way with our own agendas. Amen? What? You had a quizzical look when I said that till we get in the way with our own agenda.
Okay.
All right. You understand an agenda is idolatry. What?
Thinking about what you're talking about, God has known us before we were even born. And it's like a lot of times your carnal mind can't comprehend how anybody could.
And is this a philosophy lesson now, or?
You take it wherever you want. So I'm thinking about the atomic bomb. You know, extremely complicated chemistry and all that. Well, if that chemistry is that complicated, then you can see God certainly has the ability to know all things. Yeah. And it's so far greater than I can imagine.
There you go.
Yeah? Is that good?
Yeah. So it stops being a...
Yeah. I just... it's mind-boggling. And so you enter into faith. You know, because now you know who you believe in. And he is so far greater than...
And the faith is tested over and over until you know that you know that you know that he's faithful. And then once you know that he is faithful, then you can be at rest. When you doubt his faithfulness, then you think that anything that's going on that isn't exactly like you think it should be, then you think he's, oh my God, God has forsaken the earth. I have to go lean on my own arm of understanding.
But you'll never find that out if you don't go.
You've got to push the barriers.
Yeah. You'll think about faithfulness.
All right, there's a jillion scriptures about this, but I don't feel like talking about them. Continuing in verse 23, back to Thessalonians. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. All right. So therefore, there's a trinity, if you will, within us. There's the soul, the body, and the spirit. So how did we get the spirit? Well, we got the spirit on the day of Pentecost. So there's soul. Is your just the, everything, your mind, your emotions, your will, your assumed will. It's everything that makes you you. So your soul is your you-ness. And your soma is the body, and the body is obvious. The body is how we navigate around in the world. So there's body. We are to be sanctified, body, soul, and spirit. And that and everything has to be pushed to the limit. Everything. Peace. You understand the body, soul, and spirit? All right. Preserved, that your body, soul, and spirit be preserved. It's not the normal word for being saved or anything, but it's being preserved. It means to take care of or guard by another something else. Which means it's God that's doing it. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless is mean. The word is that there's no cause for censure. And this is this mystery of God. When you can come to the place where when anybody or when you are judging yourself for something or when somebody else is judging you about something, then you say, talk to my father about that. It's got to be that. But if anything can stick to you, then you're not transparent. And so if somebody says something to you that riles you up, that's just revealing either guilt or idolatry. No exceptions. Amen? Again, coming is this great word, parousa. The main meaning of coming is presence. What?
I just laughing, thinking it's amen, but I don't like it. Qualified anyway.
Presence is an interesting word. Parousa is an interesting word. It's para, which means a presence, and ousia, which means a being. So, presence, or the word that's translated coming, which gives us the wrong idea that we're waiting for something else to happen, its primary meaning is a being other than you is present. And that presence is our first love. That if we know the presence, then that's what a church isn't a bunch of people. Church is a group of people who commonly have this mystery of God in the idea that they know the presence of Him. Otherwise, each individual is running around your own identity. But if you know that He is present, then everything is perfect. It becomes impossible for you to think that anything in the universe should change. Because you see that every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. That doesn't mean that we all become believers and of all of accept Jesus as our personal Savior. It means that everything in the universe is going towards this mystery. The only thing that it isn't is our mind. Our mind can't comprehend it. It can't go there. It doesn't want any part of it. Therefore, your mind must be renewed. The only way it can be renewed is being fully tested in every possible area. A little bit. It's always tested by definition. You're not going to like it. You've heard me say many, many times that this place is my worst nightmare. But the mystery is that it fulfills every desire of my heart. So again, you've got to see through everything to see Him as all and in all. All right. So anyway, presence is that interesting word, para ousia. It's what we would tell here and all over the place translated as coming. But can you see how if we lived at the time of the King James, then this word would have been different in our understanding, the coming. But now, for some reason, our language has changed, and so we now some of the words that are in the Old English don't have the same meaning. So for us, the coming means something that's going to happen in the future, whereas back then, the presence or coming were the same thing. All right.
It's like the appearing.
Appearing is the same.
Yeah, and that's the exposure of reality. That which is already there and has been always is seen, and it looks like coming, but it's not. It's, like you said, present.
All righty. I got too many notes. Blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we could study coming, the coming all day. I don't want to get on with it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful simply means that you found by your own experience that God is trustworthy and reliable fully, you can put everything about you in his hands. He that calleth is kaleo again. And it means, it's got three main meanings. It means to invite or bid. It means to summons. But it also means to bear a name. We are called to bear a name. But it's a new name that no man knoweth. So all the names that you have named about yourself are incorrect, because there is a new name that covers everything. A new name for which there is never again any idea. Remember, the fall in Genesis could not have happened until God told Adam to name things. He named things. Once he named them, then there was separation. Do you understand that? That's a biggie. So God tested Adam to see if in his naming of things he would still be transparent. Well, he wasn't. Because the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil became him. So the only time he wanted to be as God, like God. But, and that's what that scripture means in 2 Thessalonians about he set himself up in the temple of God, showing himself that he was God, because he judged for himself good and evil. That's what each of us do if we pay attention to our mind, and therefore that mind is the instead of Christ. In this, you are his temple. Your mind, which you were, everybody, man, the mind is the only thing in the universe that all men worship. So all men worship the beast because they worship themselves. Worship means give breath to. Now we could spend an eternity here. Faithful is he that's named you. But it's a name that no man knoweth. Let's look at some scriptures about faithful. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Just a couple pages over to the right. 2 verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And this is the one we're studying. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live by him, is what it should say. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Right?
That's great.
Yeah, I don't know why. That was one of the first scriptures that I just exploded when I read it. Yeah. Anyway. And then now let's go to John 1:9. Big John. start in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, this is after Christ was crucified, and now he's been with them for 40 days with the disciples as in the resurrected state. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Anyway.
Where are we? John 1.
John 1. Now, let's. I said, we're going to start in verse... Let's start in verse 1. That'd be nice. We'll stop when we get this one. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus.
Wait. Said Big John's.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did the wrong thing. I just thought we were going to Acts 1. Well, let's read that one, too, from the beginning.
Where are you now?
John 1, verse 1. Shut up.
Now we're all on the same page.
All right, same page. There's that saying, come to life.
Anybody else got any wise sayings to humiliate me?
Oh, gosh.
What?
Well, it's not going to happen tomorrow when I'm in the mood.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What are they talking about? That lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So obviously it's talking about the Word made flesh. On the day of Pentecost, the light entered every man. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, why did I... All of that is, in a word, it's John's testimony of the faithfulness of Christ. But he expanded it to all men, everywhere, at all times. Can there come any possible situation that you can imagine? And if in that situation you think something is wrong, then you've missed the point of life. Anybody buy that? We'll spend some time tomorrow, hopefully, on He that calleth and what that means. All righty, take a big guy. Well, anybody have any response or anything before we go?
My mind went to, as a fruit of that sentence, what about terrorists who blow people up in the name of God?
What about death itself?
What about
Hitler?
I got the answer. I'll tell you. No, it's like we said many times, it's all pictures. It's all to see the ultimate realities.
See how many we have killed.
Yeah.
Why mass murderers?
Yeah.
Why? All right, take a big guy.